Good morning, Calvin family. Today's gospel reading is from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all those things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near to them and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" And he asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning when they did not find his body there. They came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who had said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted them to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near to the village which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, as it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking with us on the road, while he was opening the scripture to us?" That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Greg. Well, here we still are in this strange and difficult chapter of life on this third Sunday of Easter 2020. Now, during this time, one of the things that I have done, that I have been doing, has been to revisit some favorite stories, favorite books, favorite movies, favorite TV shows, that sort of thing. I imagine that many of you have been doing the same, as we have been stuck in our houses and haven't been able to go out and do lots of the things that we normally occupy our time with. So I imagine that many of you too have been revisiting some old stories or discovering new stories. In fact, I was especially excited last week because the third book of a trilogy by one of my favorite authors was released last week. And I had actually, I had forgotten I had done this, but apparently about a year ago, I had pre-ordered it. And I'd completely forgotten that until I got an email saying the book was on its way and I would have it in 2 days. And so I was really excited. And so what I decided to do was to go back and reread those first two books of this larger story. I wanted to make sure that when this third book and third and final book showed up, I wanted to make sure that I had refreshed myself on the context of this whole series, this whole big story that was being told. The whole story of when I came to this last book, I wanted to have a refreshed memory of how we got there and all the ins and outs of what was going on, so that when I entered into this final chapter of this larger story, I would have all that context with me. And while I was while I was excited to jump into this new book when it showed up, I put it off to the side until I finished reading these other two. I knew that reminding myself of that larger story at work would make reading this final book, this final chapter in this larger story, it would make it much better. And honestly, it would give me a bigger picture of this world and what was going on in the grand story that was being told. Chapters, whether long or short, whether they are joyous chapters or tragic chapters, whether they are quick and easy chapters or whether they are hard chapters. Chapters are always meant to be read and understood within the context of the larger story, aren't they? Well, I want us to consider and receive this passage from Luke that Greg just read for us. I want us to consider and receive this passage of Scripture with that in mind, chapters and stories. On Easter Sunday, we looked at Matthew's account of the empty tomb. And then last week, we looked at what happens next in Matthew's gospel as Matthew draws his gospel account to a close. And today, the lectionary has us in Luke's gospel, actually backtracking a little bit. The reading from Luke actually takes place on that same Sunday that Jesus rose. That same Sunday that those faithful women discovered the empty tomb and that Jesus had risen and were given that task to go and tell the other disciples that the Lord had risen. And so this passage here, it's an account of the risen Jesus' interaction with two of his disciples as they were on a journey. They were walking to a village called Emmaus. And they had just earlier that day, after having gone through all those tragic events of the previous week, and then just that morning, they were told the most unbelievable news about Jesus, that he was risen, that he was alive. And so as they're walking, these two are discussing all that has happened and they're actually debating and wrestling with what all of it could possibly mean. They hadn't seen Jesus yet. They hadn't met the risen Jesus yet. They just had this report, this strange, unbelievable report. And so you can kind of hear where they are emotionally when this stranger suddenly shows up alongside of them and joins them on their journey. Now, we know that stranger is Jesus, but they don't know that yet. They don't recognize him yet. And so when he asks them what they're talking about, that's when you can kind of hear where they are with all of this. They start telling him about this guy, Jesus of Nazareth, that they had been following around. He was their rabbi, and they'd been following him around for a few years. And they start telling him about what all that he had done. He'd gone around doing and proclaiming. They told this stranger how their friend Jesus had been handed over, had been betrayed by one of their own, and was condemned and then crucified. And then listen to what they say about him after recounting this. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. They tell this stranger how they had put their hopes, their deepest hopes and longings in this person. But now he was gone. And sure, there was something strange going on. The tomb was found empty earlier that morning by some of the women from their group. And they had come back to these disciples with this crazy story about angels and empty tombs and how Jesus was alive again. But really, what do you do with a story like that? by all reason, the chapter that they had hoped would tell the story of redemption and salvation and healing, it had suddenly just ended. It was sealed off by a stone in front of a tomb. Messiahs and saviors don't end up suffering and dying among criminals and at the hands of corrupt earthly powers. So that chapter seemingly had drawn to a close. But that's when this stranger begins to tell them another story. Or at least a different aspect of a story. Not so much another story, but the stranger begins to tell them a larger story. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? He says to them. And then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them, Jesus interpreted to these disciples, the things about himself in all the scriptures. After hearing their story, after listening to them tell about what has happened to them and their hopes, Jesus begins to take what they have shared with him and put their story in the proper context. He puts their experiences into that larger story of redemption and promise that is told in Scripture. He takes even their dashed hopes and pulls them in. Though they don't yet see that this is Jesus that's right here with them, Jesus does begin to open their eyes slowly through Scripture to the bigger, wider story of what God is doing and how God is at work and has been at work. They begin to see, to have their eyes open to the story of their lives, let alone the particular chapter of recent events that they've been caught up in. It was not just one short story among many in an anthology of history, but it was in fact a chapter in the great romantic epic story of hope and promise, grace and mercy, forgiveness and salvation. It was but a chapter in the very story of redemption. The story that God had been telling and weaving since the beginning. You see, there was a larger story being told here, one that didn't just begin with them and their experiences and doesn't end with the closing of that particular chapter with the sealing of this tomb. That's what Jesus is opening their eyes up to. Yes, he is the point at which his life and his death and his resurrection is the point on which the whole story from beginning to end, upon which it hinges and turns. That it's that plot point, that twist. You know the one in the story. Whatever story you're reading, it's that plot point. It's that twist that suddenly opens up the trajectory of everything before, during, and after. And the truth is, friends, that we are very much like these two disciples on the road to Emmaus. We too are living in a particular chapter. Our lives are a particular chapter, and even this moment in time in which we find ourselves, this moment, this time of the coronavirus pandemic, it is a particular chapter. And so just like these two walking to Emmaus, like they were tempted to believe that the end of that chapter that they had been a part of was all there was, and was really just the end of another short story. The truth is that we too can sometimes mistake the chapter for the larger story. But Jesus, through Scripture, through the story that God has been at work weaving since the beginning, he began there on that road, he began to open their eyes to the larger story that was at work, a story that reaches back to the beginning, not of their lives, but to the beginning, and has worked its way, woven its way into human history and keeps on stretching out far beyond them. You see, Scripture is the story of Jesus. And like all good stories, there's foreshadowing and hints about what's to come, and there's conflict and times when all seems lost and hopeless and you can't figure out how there could possibly be a good ending. But then if you keep reading, right, if it's a really good story, right, there is a good ending there finally at the end. But in a really good story, it happens in a way you never would have expected, doesn't it? But it also happens in a way that when you go back, if you go back and if it's a really good story, when you go back and reread it and you know the plot twists and where it all ends up leading, you can even start to see those hints and the foreshadowing popping up. And you start to see, well, of course that's what it was driving towards. Of course that's how it would had to wind up. Everything was driving toward that ending from the start. I can see it now. That's the gift, family. That's the gift of Scripture, of God's Word to us. You see, it's not so much a list of do's and don'ts like some sort of instruction manual. There are instructions in it, to be sure, but they're all in the context of something else. They're all in the context of a story that's being woven. Scripture is primarily telling us a story. It's not even telling us a story. Scripture is calling us into a story, into God's story. You know, I've got, at my house, I've got drawers that are stuffed with random instruction manuals from throughout the years, from this or that, right? I imagine you probably have something similar, a drawer or a bag or a cabinet somewhere that's just kind of overflowing with old instruction manuals, right? And what do we do with instruction manuals when we get them? Well, we look them over at first, maybe, right? Maybe we do. We look them over, and then we just stuff them away. Maybe just in case, right? Just in case there's an emergency, right? But other than that, we just stuff them away and forget about them. And so they end up just kind of piling up in drawers and cabinets, don't they? But in our house, in addition to a few drawers with instruction manuals, we've also got bookcases. And on these bookcases are stories. Now, I don't know about you, but given the choice, really, I rarely. And really, it is only as an absolute last resort in an emergency of some kind. I rarely go looking for and pull out an instruction manual and read it. But I have stories on my bookshelf that I will pull down again and again and again. What Jesus is doing here with these disciples is saying to them, This is the true story, this larger story. This is the true story that you have been called into, right? That's even been at work in you and around you, even in this one chapter, even in this tragic and confusing chapter that you're still trying to get your heads and your hearts around. There is a larger story at work. And so know this. When God is telling the story, no chapter is meaningless. And whether or not we can get our heads or our hearts around it, we can be sure that it matters. This time, it matters. But also know that when we can't wrap our heads, let alone our hearts, around what is unfolding around us in this particular chapter, Jesus has come. to not just tell us the larger story, but to wrap us in it. When we can't wrap our hearts around it, Jesus has come to wrap his heart around us. When God is telling the story, friends, no chapter is ignored, no chapter is without hope, and no chapter is without promise. Here's the truth, family. We do not know how the specifics of this particular chapter of pandemic and distancing and separation, we don't know how long this chapter is going to go on. We don't. We don't know everything that's going to take place. We don't know when it's going to start to get better. We know that it is a chapter of heartbreak and sorrow, as some chapters are. We also know it's a chapter of moments of courage and opportunities to re-examine priorities. We don't know, we probably can't know the meaning of it all, or maybe even what it means to ask if there is a meaning to it or what that meaning might be. But what we can know, friends, what we do know is that it too is a chapter, like all chapters in this life, that it is a chapter that is yet pregnant with the hope and promise of the God who enters into the story of history and that invites us to share with him so that he can share with us, who joins us on this journey, who listens and hears and holds our stories, our hopes, our dashed hopes, our laments, who hears us when we say, "But we had hoped this would have turned out differently." He hears and holds that with us, and he invites us to hold it with him, even as he also invites us to see that if the resurrection means anything, it means that dashed hopes don't stay dashed forever, and the closing of a chapter is never the closing of the story. Later in this passage, these two disciples, they invite Jesus to stay with them. They've arrived at the village, and Jesus gets, I love this, Jesus gets, I don't know, maybe a little playful with them, maybe. They stop, but Jesus pretends to keep going. He walked ahead, it says, as if he were going on. It's like Jesus is there kind of just wondering and waiting to see what they're going to do with him. He's still a stranger to them, and it's like he's creating space that is inviting them to invite him in as their guest. It's fascinating, isn't it? Remember, this is all taking place on that first Easter Sunday, the day of resurrection, and Jesus doesn't show up here in this case to these disciples. He doesn't show up here and say, "Boom, surprise, here I am." No, he just kind of joins them quietly as they're on a journey. He offers some hope along the way and then waits to see if they, not even really knowing who he is, they'll invite him in to stay. And the good thing is, they do. They invite him to stay with them. But then what happens there is it all gets turned around. They've invited him in for a meal and some rest. But then, and again, it's not in this big, loud production, but in the normal intimacy of an everyday meal. The place where they thought they were playing host and offering hospitality to the stranger guest, suddenly he's the one that's blessing and giving, and it turns out he's the one offering them hospitality and rest and provision and nourishment for them on their journey. And that's when, it's not before, that's when their eyes are finally fully opened and they recognize that it's been Jesus traveling with them all along. And looking back on the journey, it starts to all make sense. Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road? Family, in this chapter in which we find ourselves, we dare not forget the larger story of resurrection, and hope, and promise, and redemption. And that, yes, sometimes that does come to us in big and miraculous ways. But other times, it comes to us in the smaller, quieter, dare we say, ordinary comings and goings of life. Of just enough rest for that day's journey. Of just enough strength. Just enough of a reminder of the larger story of God's salvation and redemption. Maybe not the whole thing, but enough of a reminder for that day's journey. In our cases, at least right now, we certainly may be struck by Jesus and these two at a table, sharing a meal together. Because we can't do that. We long to. We had hoped to. But we can't invite others over for a meal. We can't meet up at a favorite restaurant with friends. We can't gather here around this table. And yet, there is yet an invitation here. Whatever meals, for example, look like for you, they are never just you. Never just whoever is in the room with you. Each meal, each and every meal is also an invitation. To be fed and nourished and thankful, yes, but also an invitation. That food, whatever it is, it comes with its own story of those who maybe prepared or delivered it, or those who bagged it and sold it and stocked it, or those who harvested it or planted it. And behind it all, the God who causes all things to grow, even a simple meal, is an invitation into a larger story, one that is founded on the goodness and grace of God. And a story that also doesn't just connect us with God, but connects us with one another, right? To other chapters that we may never get to fully read, but chapters that are yet a part of the same grand story that God is inviting us all into. But it may not have to be a meal. It may also be the grace and the invitation of a phone call or a card in the mail received at just the right time, or of an offering from a friend to listen to the laments, yours and mine and ours, the laments of this chapter. Sometimes, in fact, I dare say a lot of the time, it is in those small offers of hospitality, of invitation, those normal day-to-day connections, adjusted perhaps for the circumstances, but still there. It's in those that we are invited to have our eyes opened to the God that has been with us this whole time. And that come what may, even this chapter right now, it is held in the hands and in the heart of the one who isn't just writing the story, but who has entered into it to be with us in it, so that it may truly be, in the end, the greatest story of redemption and promise and alleluia glory ever told. Where even the hard chapters, and this is a hard chapter, where even the hard chapters, they're not negated, they're not dismissed, they're not diminished, but even they end up mattering all the more, because in the end, they too are held in the story whose ending has already been written in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Friends, that is the story that we are called and invited into each and every day as Jesus joins us on this journey, as he walks alongside of us, as he invites us to tell and share our story with one another and with him. As he takes that and he pulls it into his story. Friends, Easter has come. Easter has come. The tomb is empty. Alleluia. Jesus is risen. And he lives. He lives to walk with you on all your journeys, all of our journeys, to be present in each and every chapter, and to hold each and every one of our chapters, to hold them in his story, and to offer all the hope and the rest and the nourishment that you and I need for this journey. 30-something years ago, my grandmother, I'm just going to close with this story. 30-something years ago, my grandmother, Nana, she wrote her life story, and she had it bound as a book, and she had enough copies printed to give to each of her four kids, my mom being one of them, as a surprise Christmas present. This book told her story, but in doing so, it also told the story of her kids, and in turn, her grandkids. When I read it, I was around 10 years old, and I decided to read it. And what struck me, even as a 10-year-old, as I was reading the story of my Nana's life, I realized what struck me was, even then I recognized I wasn't just reading about some random person who grew up long before I was born. I was reading a story that also told me about where I came from. And in that, it started to tell me a little bit about who I am. I was able to begin to get a glimpse of my life in a larger context as part of not just the people I lived with in my house, but as a larger family's unfolding story. Jesus has come so that you and I, we may truly know who we are. We may truly discover who we are, who we are called to be, where we came from, and even, yes, where we are headed. And through him, every single chapter of our lives is being drawn into this unfolding story of this family of God. Here is the promise and good news of the gospel. If you are in Christ, your life has become bound up in his. The story of your life has become bound up in the story of his life. His death is your death, and his life is your life. This, family, is the promise of the true story, the only story that can take in and hold all others. The only story that can redeem and fulfill all of our little stories and chapters and give them new life. Jesus is risen, family. Alleluia. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And he invites you to see the chapters of your life to see them in the grand story of His. Hallelujah. He's risen. He's risen indeed. And so, friends, let us raise our voices in song. Christ has risen while earth slumbers. Let us sing.